Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Global Eco Talk Show. Join us celebrating responsible cleanup in Niger Delta, Nigeria. Featuring your host is Eco Nagashima. Eco is hosting you from Japan.
Welcome to Global Eco Talk Show, 38th episode. Today, 22nd, February 2015, Sunday, 12 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. in Nigeria, 8 p.m. in London, or 23rd, Monday, 5 a.m. in Japan. This is Eco, your host of the show. Our guest today is Dr. Udende Udofie, a lecturer in the Department of Zoology and Environmental Biology from University of Calabar in Nigeria. He created the project to clean up the petroleum pollution in the Niger Delta, and his specialization is in environmental pollution toxicology. He was a pioneer consultant on environmental matters to Akwa Ibom State Government, a Niger Delta state in Nigeria. He has coordinated a pilot mangrove restoration project, the oil impacted site at Ukpenyam, Ibeno, an oil producing community of Niger Delta, Nigeria. He is also the chairman of the Nigerian Environmental Society, which is known as NES, Cross River State, Nigeria. Now, let me tell you a brief history of how I met him. I met him through my friend and former his student, Mrs. Edem Ekon, who told Dr. Udeme Udofie about our organization, SWASIM's proposed project of the cleanup of oil pollution in the Niger Delta region of Nigeria. When I asked why, he decided to become board of director of SWASIM, our organization, Dr. Udofie commended me of the great zeal of passion that I have for the vision of SWASIM, that is to support women and children in Niger Delta, Nigeria. Dr. Udofie was concerned about the pilot plight of children and women who are always obviously the most vulnerable in the various cases of pollution of the Niger Delta region of Nigeria, arising from exploration and exploitation of oil and gas resources of the region. For some years now, Dr. Udofie is passionate about the restoration of the lost natural resources of the oil-rich Niger Delta region and protection of the threatened species. I want to inform you, the listeners, about our board of director meeting on 14th February. That's just 1 week ago. Because the Japanese government has been rejecting our project to clean up the Niger Delta, mainly because of high cost, too difficult and unclear, the theme of the project, was their answer. So we discussed what to do to solve this problem. Then the agreement was made among the board of directors to lower our goals of the project and start small so that our proposal would be accepted by the Japanese government. Our original project was to provide skill acquisition for women and children to protect themselves from the impact of pollution and climate change. But we want to be more specific and have achievable goals. We came up with water filter, toilet, and women-children awareness program. 50-core doctor Udeme Udo here. And meantime, I would like to have you to listen to music. This is one of my best favorite, Ty Dero, Land is Green.
Presently the head of the Department of Zoology and Environmental Biology.
Uh-huh.
I hold a PhD in Environmental Pollution and Toxicology.
Okay.
I'm also involved in Environmental Management Consultancy.
Dr. Udobe Udofie has been working with us, Swapping Inc. And our project, the purpose is to serve and protect women and children in Niger Delta region in Nigeria from any form of violence, poverty, unemployment, and environmental pollution. And now we have presented the project to the Japanese government, and it was not something that they can agree with. So we have now lower our goal. And our short-term objective now is to build water filter, toilet, women, children awareness program. So we like to ask you about this project. And do you agree on this, starting working on a water filter, toilet, women, children awareness program?
Well, I would rather advise. You see, we the Niger Delta environment, though it has a problem of pollution as a consequence of oil and gas exploration and exploitation.
Uh-huh.
But you have diverse communities. Some communities may actually look for water Some may have fine toilets more useful at a particular point in time. My thinking is that putting together the women and children in a particular locality and training them, at least exposing them, finding out what is their need in that basic community. There may be areas that, in the cause of the pollution, that virtually all the sources of drinking water has completely gone. In some communities, you can now embark on possibly the option of potable water that will enhance them in containing or mitigating the impact of water pollution in that area. There may be areas that don't have potable facilities, and then you go ahead to do that. So my thinking is that the first thing, step that should be taken should be a workshop, a training program where an awareness is created. And then within that interaction, we can have the feeling, feel the pulse of the community that we are targeting. And where we have basic areas of need, we can now embark on that. So to me, it is a training awareness question, a program that should be a priority. That will really help us in really knowing the exact need of the specific community that we are dealing with.
Okay. You mentioned that we need to find out what is the specific need among the local communities.
Yes.
But do you agree that the basically they need water supplies?
Of course, I do, because like we say, we are looking, SWASIN is really focused at targeting at mitigating the impact of pollution in the Niger Delta. But how be it? The focal group is the women and children. You know, they are almost always the most vulnerable. So there are areas that virtually all the sources of drinking water have been polluted. In such areas, in such communities, provision of water would be a priority.
Okay, so focusing on the water supply would be the right directions. Would you think so?
Yeah, but what I really hate to talk about, we're talking about water filter. A water filter means there is water, but the water is not potable, it's not drinkable. So you have to filter the water too, so that the impact, the effect of pollution may not be felt.
Okay, if we are to work on the water supplies, and what kind of awareness program can we give?
We are looking at water supply. Like I said, even though Niger Delta is a it's heterogeneous, there are areas that you still have pockets of drinking water like streams.
Uh-huh.
So in those areas, in those communities, water provision of water may not be a priority. But you go down to a place like Ogoniland, like Ibno area, virtually all the sources of water have been polluted. In such a community, the provision of borehole water would be a priority. So that's why I'm saying we have heterogeneous communities along the Niger Delta. So you have to specifically look at the community that you want to start with. Do we really need to have this water? That's why my suggestion that we should first of all have a stakeholders meeting, like a seminar, a workshop, where people from these communities are brought together, and then we now feel that impulse. We find out from them what exactly is the priorities in this area. So when we have communities that have water as a major priority, we now embark on the provision of water.
I see. Now, recently I read articles about the local people drinking the dirty water from the pond. Is that true? They have no water filter whatsoever to cleanse the water, but they just drink the dirty water. Is that true?
Yeah, there are communities that you don't have potable water.
Oh,
that's the Niger Delta community. Yeah.
This is very disturbing. Oh, boy. So there must be a lot of people who is suffering from eatingness, right? Oh, boy. This is horrible. Okay. Where do you think is the most appropriate spot for starting up water filter projects?
Communities where we have polluted water, contaminated water. In some communities, I spoke of a community like Ibno, I spoke of a community like Mbo in Akwa Ibom State, we look at those communities where the water has been really, really polluted or contaminated. And so you need to filter this water so that people, those people, women, children, may access bottled water. And, of course, the health, the public health, will equally be guaranteed.
Okay. How about the medical institutions, if they have any facilities to help their improve their health? If they drink the dirty water, you know, there must be a lot of people who are suffering from illness. So what kind of health care program is there? Just I'm wondering.
You mean facilities or organization?
Yes, no, health care, health.
Okay, yes. The government is doing its bit in the provision of health services. But I tell you, it is not enough. They still need for collaboration with NGOs, with their public spirited organizations, that will be able, because as you speak, a lot of people are suffering from health-related problems on account of the pollution that has occurred in the Niger Delta. And it will be of very great importance and help to those communities. But the major problem we have is that people are doing this ignorantly. That where you have poverty pervading the site, people drink this water, they don't even know that some problems, like the health-related problems, as a result of the poor state of sanitation and the poor water they drink. So, provision of health facilities will go a long way in alleviating the sufferings of the people in these communities.
Okay, you know, as far as I know, water filter is not enough to cleanse the water completely, you know. So we came to the ideas that we might, you know, provide some water pipe. And would that be a good idea in your perspective?
Bob, yeah, pipe-borne water. That is only pipe-borne water. Yeah. Provision of borehole. Sometimes borehole water. Borehole water. That's even the... The one that, because where the water filter would be useful, where there is water, but the water is not potable. I hope you understand me.
Okay, I see. So you have to have a water borehole.
Water filter. Yes, because if we talk of water filter, it means there is water, but the water is not clean enough for people to drink. But where there is absence of water whatsoever, what you need is an alternative to the kind of water, the stream water that is no longer potable. You now drill boreholes to provide water for the communities and for children and women particularly.
So before water filter, we have to have a water borehole.
Well, what I'm saying is that instead of water filter, we should think of provision of borehole water. That will go around. Like if you provide borehole water in a community, more people will have access and more people will benefit from that kind of project.
Oh, great. Dr. Dufia, you are giving us the wonderful information. Okay, now we know where what to start. Water borehole we need to start with. Yeah.
Provision of borehole water.
Provision of water borehole, right? That is basically the well.
Yeah, provision of borehole water.
Yes, we need to dig well. You know, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Many people don't know
what
a borehole is. You know, on this side, many people don't know what is a borehole. What do you say about security there?
Yeah, I must emphasize that the one hitherto turbulent Niger Delta environment is no longer so now. Peace has fully returned to the Niger Delta. You really hear of kidnappings, and so there is absolute security, in particularly some areas of the Niger Delta, like Akwa Ibom State, Cross River State, Delta State. So those areas are very peaceful. It's only very pocket of areas. Some pockets of areas, we have a lot of oil drilling, that you may think of some security breach once in a while. But I must tell you, peace has not just gradually, but in many places, fully returned to the Niger Delta as we speak.
Okay, but the, many people in the international community are concerned about terrorist problem that we hear from the north side of Nigeria. Wouldn't that be any concern?
Yeah, terrorist attack is mostly localized in the northeastern parts of Nigeria.
Okay.
And the government is still battling very hard to bring them to a halt. But in the Niger Delta community, terrorism has not found its place there. So there's no, terrorism is completely ruled out in the Niger Delta as we speak.
How about the tribal conflicts? Like, you know, are they not fighting against each other among tribes?
Well, you only have that in pockets of communities, maybe where there's a struggle for ownership of land. So very few areas you have incidents of a tribal conflict. But by and large, in most of the communities in Niger Delta, it has been completely really played down to the very minimum. Only very few pocketed areas. And of course, if you are coming for that kind of project, we are trying to reach out, you wouldn't want to locate a project where there's any tribal conflict. Like where Swazini has been focusing, has been attempting to work, and there's absolute peace. We don't have any case of tribal conflict, no case of terrorism, case of militancy as we speak.
I think many people would be surprised to hear what you're saying, because we have, in general, some projection of how the Niger Delta is in Nigeria. Many people think that Nigeria is basically a very dangerous place from the viewpoint of outsiders. You know, that's how it is projected through the media, basically. So how could you convince them that it is now a peaceful place? We don't hear about that very often. I think
it's a perception. And in all sincerity, I think sometimes the press blows the matter out of proportion. Yes, as a matter of fact, some 5-6 years ago, there was real militancy because of the perception by the people, the local people, that they have been neglected as a consequence of oil exploration, exploitation and exploration in the area. And so they rose up. And I think government really intervened, and there was this amnesty that was granted to the militants. So that was about 5 years ago. And it would be unfair to still believe that, to still hold the view. That was 7 years ago, but during the government of the late Yaradua, the government granted amnesty, and some of those militants were rehabilitated. Some of those militants were rehabilitated, and they were sent for training. They were empowered, and since they really dropped arms, there have been relative peace in the Niger. We don't hear of blowing of oil pipelines again, because peace has literally returned to the Niger Delta. So I think it's a perception that you see here that was there before, and they still believe that nothing has happened. But I can tell you, as a resident in the Niger Delta community, there is absolute peace now, currently in most parts of the Niger Delta region of Nigeria.
Okay, but other difficulties that we may be prepared for?
I think generally the issue of convincing, the difficulty may be at the place of trying to explain the mission. If people get to know, this is a group that is coming in to add value to their lives, that initial breakthrough, the moment there is convincing, we're convincing the people, so there won't be any problem. That the initial kind of, when people perceive that you are coming in for exploitation, they will revolt. But when they know that you have a genuine intention in adding value to their lives, and thereby adding value to the international community, I think that initial constraint will be removed.
I see. Okay, excuse me, Dr. Udofi, somebody is trying to call, so okay. Kinuruwa Abiragam was calling, so let us have on the show so that she can ask you some questions.
Hello?
Yeah, we are just trying to call her. Connection is not that great. Hello? Victoria?
Hello?
You're on the air. Yay!
I've missed you
for
the show.
Yes, we missed you too. Dr. Udofia is here.
Yes, I'm yes. Victoria. Oh, am
yes.
I still talking with Hideko?
Yes, Victoria wants to ask you some questions. Victoria, go ahead.
That one, where do we put the borehole? And two, will the oil spillage not affect the borehole?
Okay. That's a very good question. Tell me, Victoria. When you hear talk the borehole oil spill, it is not pervasive in all areas. I agree with you that when there's a spill, there's bound to be underground water pollution.
Exactly.
There's bound to be underground water pollution apart from the surface water pollution, because the oil will drill deep down into the underground water surface. Where we can have borehole, that's why before any drilling is going on, there's always need to carry out some study to find out the suitability. And I want to tell you that in some upland areas, like in our five homesteads, we can move to the mainland area where we don't have severe spillage, and we can drill borehole water in those areas.
Okay, sorry. Now, Dr. Dovier's voice is gone. So, well, it was great. You asked a very good questions. The time is running out. So, is there anything else to say in the roar? Okay, now, the connection is not that great, listeners, but I think we heard all that we need to hear. And let us thank Dr. Udofia, the participating in the show, and Victoria, thank you very much for questioning. And we are privileged to listen to the amazing project that we are organizing. Hope we'll be able to push the project forward in the future. Everyone, if you listen to this show until the end, you are very welcome and very blessed. And thank you. Let us extend our gratitude to you. The next radio show will be on March 8, 2015, in 2 weeks' time. So stay tuned. We wish you a very happy weekend. Okay, goodbye, everybody.